Well, day number three in Brooklyn sure went sideways in a hurry. Day four tomorrow, for me it's tomorrow morning, for Mayweather-McGregor, day four in London at Wembley Stadium. But today at the Barclays Center, we saw day three, and it went downhill quickly. I wish I could say it didn't, but it did. Dave Doyle, MMAfighting.com, joining us. Dave, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing all right, my man. How are you?
I'm good. So how did you take today?
Oh-wee. Today was a day everything just went straight off the rails, wasn't it?
It's unfortunate. Do you think it was guys who were just tired that the format was played out? I mean, why do you think today was so bad?
I think it was a little bit of everything, you know? I mean, I think I kind of had an inkling. Dana White went on did a television interview before things, and he was complaining. You know, he said that, basically said, like, hey, if it was me, I would be switching up the format here. And that kind of set off my little spidey senses that, you know, well, Dana's been doing this for a while. So, you know, if he's saying that publicly before this is even happening, this might not be a great thing. Look, this kind of comes down to, excuse me, and I'm a little biased here because I've been around MMA and I've only done, like, a smattering of boxing. But if you look at how both of the two sports kind of do things promotionally, if there was an entire week full of stuff here that was being run by the UFC, you know, they would have taken pains to mix up the format and the presentation each day. Where boxing, they do the same just tired format that they've been doing for like 150 years where, you know, they have like, oh, I don't know, bands playing, and then every jackass with a title next to his name is trotted out to give a long-winded speech that no one wants to listen to. And then, you know, you got, and then there was no real kind of format to what the fighters were doing in front of the fans. So there's only so much, you know, if you had that kind of free form the way Floyd and Conor were going at it, for a couple of days, I mean, there's a reason why, like, when a stand-up comic goes on tour, he's doing the same show every night in a different town. Like, there's only so much stuff that you can spontaneously come up with when you come out and come up with material. So, you know, I would blame the format in large part. I think the guys were tired, and then I think Conor made some pretty bad choices on what he was going to do with his presentation today.
Yeah, we'll get into that here in a second, Dave. But I'll back you up on this because I cover both boxing press conferences and UFC press conferences here in Las Vegas. And the boxing press conferences are boring. They're stale. They're not fun. You're right that they follow the same ridiculous format. Every ego needs to be stroked. Everybody needs to be thanked. Every promotion needs to get their moment in the sun. Every sponsor needs to be mentioned. The UFC comes out, and it's just, here are our fighters. Here are our microphones. Media or fans, go ahead, ask questions, and let the guys do what they're going to do. And it's highly entertaining. It moves very quickly. And Dana White has been, those press conferences are so much fun because it enables the back and forth that they're trying to create now between Floyd and Conor. But these guys aren't naturally gifted at standing up there every day and coming up with new content and new insults. And thus you get Conor adapting some alter ego today. That wasn't Conor McGregor in my mind who was up there. I don't know who the hell that was, but that wasn't Conor to me. Would you agree with that?
No, yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, I think Conor kind of had to have felt like, you know, I'm playing a little bit of psychoanalyst here from a distance.
Right.
But I think that especially where Conor was perceived to. So Conor had kind of like a weak day one because he was a little bit in awe of his surroundings. Then he came back real strong, just completely owned day two. And I feel like he tried a little too hard to up the ante and, you know, come up with something that kind of blew everything away. But instead, he ended up, you know, I mean, Conor resonates with the people because he's so ridiculously authentic. And this just screamed inauthenticity from, you know, from the jump. And then things just got worse from there.
I agree. I think, and you wrote about this tonight, Dave, so I definitely want to dive into this with you. But I think the fact that people were taking his comments of dance for me, boy, and calling him a racist for it, I think it rattled him, and I think he did not know how to respond to it. I think he made a really poor choice by bringing it up, one, and then two, in some ways doubling down with the stupid comment about I'm black from the belly button down and the whole, like, gyration on stage. I don't know what the hell that was, but I felt like he was rattled when people called him a racist. Would you agree?
I agree, and I also think that, you know, look, I don't think Conor McGregor is racist. I don't know, maybe because I'm Irish and understand Irish culture a little bit. You know, where Conor come from, the phrases he were using doesn't carry the same cultural connotation as they do here in the United States. That said, once he started saying it, someone should have been in his ear saying, "Hey, Conor, you can't do that here." You know, there's no excuse for whether, you know, whether you want to put that on Dana or his handlers or whomever, someone should have stepped in and said, like, hey, no, you know, you got to cut that out and you got to get away from that. And,
well, Dave, he self-corrected in L.A. because he said, dance for me, boy, and then changed it to dance for me, son. And then in Toronto, he didn't change it. So I think he, at least in L.A., he realized he was getting close to a line. And then in Toronto, it was just, I don't care, I'm really mad, I'm going to say whatever I want, I think.
And that's fair, too. So, you know, and unfortunately, in its own weird way, this adds another level of intrigue to tomorrow. I hope that, you know, I personally hope that when Conor realizes how much brushback he's getting to this, that he apologizes for taking it too far. But I mean, who knows? Part of me, this time yesterday, I was absolutely ecstatic about just all the possibilities for this fight, and right now, I just can't wait for this tour to be over. So that's how bad today was.
Yeah, I totally agree. Dave Doyle, MMAfighting.com, joining us. I totally agree. I'm saying that all night. And look, what has happened with Conor's comments is, and I don't think he meant this, I don't think he's racist. He's used this line of dance for me, boy, before to white fighters, and he's not using it from a racist point of view. But unfortunately, it sort of allows, from a psychological standpoint, it gives Mayweather the high ground, and Mayweather is a morally corrupt person. So to allow Floyd Mayweather Jr. to have the moral high ground in this conversation is pathetic. So he kind of walked into this, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. This was, you know, I tweeted out today, actually, in the middle of all this, I was like, today's an own goal by Conor McGregor, you know, to use a soccer phrase. If you're surrendering the moral high ground to Floyd Mayweather, who incidentally shouldn't be left off there, this is, using a lot of borderline misogynistic language himself for someone who has been to jail for spousal abuse. He's not exactly looking like a million bucks there himself, but yeah, if you voluntarily cede the moral high ground to Floyd Mayweather, then you really need to get back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I mean, afterwards saying disrespecting my daughter, disrespecting the mother of my daughter, disrespecting black women, it's kind of like, dude, look in the mirror. Like, what are you talking about? Like this is. do you really want to get into a conversation about misogynistic and abusive behavior to women? I mean, this is what's so wild to me, and this is sort of where you're kind of stuck as a media member. You can't really call Mayweather out on this, and this kind of leads me to my next question. The format was designed by Showtime, meaning Mayweather, I'm assuming, had, or his camp, had some type of say in the format, and I think the reason why they did not allow media members in front of the audience to ask questions of these fighters, which would naturally cause friction and allow these guys to go back and forth, is because I think media members would have brought up, you've gone to jail before, or you owe the IRS $29 million. What do you say about that? Would you agree that that's probably where he didn't want to go?
Yeah, that would be part of it. At the same time, you know, there have been three at these events.
Yeah, I know. Talking to the media. I know that. I mean, in front of the audience, though, not just in front of cameras and people videotaping it. I mean, like 15,000 people.
That's likely part of it. But, you know, I mean, that also ties back into, guess what? Floyd's the A side, and Conor has to go by Floyd's rules because he has never sniffed a payday like this before. When Floyd's the one who's bringing all the money to the table, so to speak, that it's true, but it's also just a reality of how things are.
All right, Dave. Today we had, I don't know, the whole Voltron comment come from Mayweather, where his two, three goons kind of got close to McGregor, and that caused McGregor's side to get going here. any concern about altercations in London when Connor's on more stable turf?
I don't think so. I think you know, today was the day that everything just got kind of wacky because, you know, everyone felt like they had to up the ante a little bit, and everyone, you know, as you talked about with that whole Voltron thing, you know, Floyd had a bad day too. It just happens to be that Connor had a much, much worse day. So
yep.
Floyd's got, with pulling antics like that, like, you know, Floyd didn't exactly bathe himself in glory today either. But I think going into tomorrow, you got to think that cooler heads have to prevail a little bit, and some type of semblance of today was a bad day, and if you're the promoters, everyone who's at the table here, you have to try to give the fans some type of positive reason to actually want to tune into this a month from now and actually see a fight.
I totally agree. And Dana White apologized on Twitter, and I think he has the finger on the pulse. He understands what just happened today and how damaging today was. Dave, great stuff. Really appreciate the time tonight.
You got it, man. Thank you.
At is Dave Doyle, MMAfighting.com, joining us here on Game Night with Matt Peralta.